We are on sheet 56, and we have, as I said to you at the very beginning, three or four sheets dealing with some fascinating test sort of cases on how halacha has adapted in different ways. And today we're looking at tamei mitzvahs, which is a big topic, which you need to be aware of. Next time I want to look at halacha and nishtane hateva, issues of how nature changes and also social changes. I want to look at technological issues, and we'll deal with loads and loads of different halachic areas. Some of them you won't be familiar with, so it'll be a learning experience in that sense, but it's the principles I'm after. Everyone has a sheet? Let's go. Do we know the reasons for mitzvahs? So, first of all, dealing with Torah mitzvahs, there are a few mitzvahs in the Torah that specifically give a reason. In particular, the mitzvah to appoint a king and for the king not to have too many wives and not to have too many horses. Why is he not allowed to have too many horses? Back to Mitzrayim. Why is he not allowed to have too many wives? Because they will turn him off the derech. The words used in the pasuk is v'lo yasur levavoy. The wives, the extra wives, will take him off. So look at the Gemara number 2. The Gemara number 2, it was tricky. I want to make sure you understood it right. First of all, it says lo yarba loy nashim. He shouldn't have too many wives. Rabbi Huda Omer, marba hu loy. No, no, he can. It's fine. He can have lots of wives. Don't worry about it. It gives a reason. And the reason is the reason, and if the reason doesn't apply, he doesn't have to worry. So he can marry lots of very frum wives that will not lead him off the derech, and that's not a problem. Rav Shimon Oimer says, no, afilu achat umasira es liboy. Even one wife who will take him off the derech is osa. You can't marry any wives to take you off the derech. How is Uloy Yisenish? Certainly can't marry. Imkein lam aneim aloy bring nashim. So why does it say he can't marry many wives? Afilu ka'avigail. Even if all the wives are like Abigail, who is the most righteous, biggest tzadekes out. So, even so, the Pasuk says, not too many wives. The answer is, so not too many wives. Ah, but they're good wives. It doesn't matter. The reason in the Pasuk does not qualify the mitzvah. Says the Gemara there, the Maimra, does this mean to say the Rebbe Yehuda, Dorish Taima Dikra, Rebbe Shimon Loi, Dorish Taima Dikra? These are the expressions. Dorish Taima Dikra means you darshan the reasons for the posuk. Meaning, if you think you know what the reason for a posuk is, for a mitzvah is, you then turn around and say, that's when the mitzvah applies, but not any other time. Does this mean to say that Rabbi Yehuda darshan's reasons and Rabbi Shimon doesn't? The ha'ib chashmin ali, didn't we learn the opposite? Didn't we learn the opposite completely? The Tanya, as we teach, almana, a widow, bein shehi aniya, bein shehi ashira, ein mamashki masa. What's the deal here? There is a mitzvah to lend people money. And if you need to take collateral, you take collateral. Meaning, I go to a person, I lend them, a poor person, I lend them $1,000, and they say, here, take my watch, and you know, if I don't pay you back, you can keep the watch. Very standard procedure. So, a poor person who has very little collateral, and what you take is the things that he needs on a daily basis, or she needs on a daily basis, there is a special mitzvah in the Torah to make sure that you go every day to give it back to them. So, let's say there's a poor laborer and he owes me money and I take collateral to make sure he pays and I take his work tools. So the halacha is, every morning before he goes to work, I have to go back to his house, give him back the work tools and take something else. I'll take his pajamas. Okay? Because he doesn't need those during the day. And every night, I go back, I'll take him back the pajamas and I'll pick up the work tools. But I have to make sure he has whatever he needs to live his life. That's the deal. So it says, a widow you're not allowed to take collateral from. Why not? Shnei Marit says, lois chavoil beged almana. Don't take a beged, don't take the clothing as collateral from an almana. So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't take it, finished. Don't take it ever. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Ashira, if the widow is rich, then you can take the collateral. Ania, if the widow is poor, you can't take the collateral. What's the deal? Are most widows rich or are most widows poor? Why would the assumption be that the widow is poor? Because she has no husband, and she has no income. Because the women didn't used to have independent income on the whole. And therefore the widow is usually poor. If she's poor, then I have to go back every morning to give her back one set of collateral, and I have to go back every evening to give her back the other set of collateral. So every morning, every evening, they're going to see my car parked in the drive of the local widow. What's going to be? A lot of Lashon Hara. Okay? So says the Torah, you can't take collateral from a widow of that nature. So says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't care whether she's rich or poor. The Torah says you can't do it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, one second. There's a reason for this mitzvah. Even though the posse doesn't include the reason, there is a reason. The reason is we don't want you going there and back every day and people starting to talk. That's the reason, bless you. Therefore, if the widow is rich and she has plenty of other things to use, so what's the problem? What's the problem? The whole problem is that you're going to go back every day. If you're not going back every day, says Rabbi Shimon, no problem. Alma, therefore, second line up, Rabbi Yehuda loy darish tam nikra. It turns out that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't question the reason of the posik. He says the posik applies whatever it is. But Rabbi Shimon darish tam nikra, and Rabbi Shimon is the one that does take the reason into consideration, which is the opposite of what we said with the king, right? You with the question of the Gemara? In the case of the king, Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said he can marry as many wives as he likes as long as they're nice people. And Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care if they're like Abigail, he can't marry too many. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda was the one that did depend on the reason Rabbi Shimon not. And it turns out that in the case of the widow, it's the other way around. So which is it? Who is focused on the reason? Who isn't focused on the reasons? So says the Gemara, no. But Alma, generally speaking, Rabbi Yehuda loy darish time of the crop. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who doesn't take account of the reason of the posuk. Vashani hacha, but it's different in the case of the king. Why? What's the difference in the case of the king? What did it say? Do you remember? This far back in the sources? What does it say? The mefarish time of the decree, meaning? It's mefarish, it's written in the posuk. Because when it's written in the posuk explicitly, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, well, actually, the posuk gives a reason for the mitzvah. So there I'll take account of the reason. But generally speaking, it says in the pasuk you're not allowed to eat pork. So why are you not allowed to eat pork? Why are you not allowed to eat pork? Ah, because, I don't know, a pig's dirty, a pig's infectious. Is there a reason? Says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not interested in working out the reason. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, if I know the reason, then I'll depend, the pasuk will depend on the reason. Now, it's obviously dangerous to start looking for reasons. Why is it dangerous? Right, because then you're going to say, I know the reason, and the reason no longer applies, or it doesn't apply to me, and therefore I'm going to play fast and loose with the mitzvahs, which is exactly what the Gemara goes on to say. Look at number 3. And Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma lo nitzkal l'tam of the Torah. Why does the Torah generally not give reasons? When you have conversations with non-religious people or non-Jewish people, the first thing they ask whenever you do anything is, why do you do that? It's a perfectly natural question, but from a Jewish religious perspective, it's a really silly question. Why do I do that? I do that because it's a mitzvah, and the Torah is min ha-shamayim, and that's what it says to do. And people just don't get their heads around that answer. They want to know, well, one second, you don't eat shrimps? Why don't you eat shrimps? Come on, explain to me why you don't eat shrimps. So, the Pasuk says, the Torah doesn't give reasons. Why? Because shtei mikrais nidgalu talmud, two psukim, the Torah gave reasons, and nifshal by God al-Olam. Who's the God al-Olam? Shlomo HaMelech. He said, don't worry, I can have wives and it won't affect me, and it did affect him. I can have too many horses and it won't affect me, and it did affect him, etc. So normally speaking, the posuk doesn't give reasons, because otherwise people start to rationalize the mitzvahs. Oh, you know why you have to eat pork? You can't eat pork because pork had trichinosis. Pigs had trichinosis way back in the day, and now they're clean, and therefore today pork is kosher. You hear people say that, right? I've heard many people trying to argue that the reason pork is trade is it used to be dirty, today pork is clean, and therefore you can eat it today. Not from an orthodox perspective, but from a general perspective. Funny that the people who say that don't do it the other way, which is like cows used to be clean, and now they've got mad cow disease, and now cows are trade. I've never heard anyone argue it that way round, although if you were being honest, I suppose you could argue it both ways round. That's why they won't take Elisheva's blood, or mine. Or yours, or Abby's. Because we've all got mad cow disease. Although we probably haven't, but as Rat Hashem, we're all fine. Oh, but if we all wake up one morning and go moo, then you'll know what happened. But they won't take my blood. I'm an O positive donor, or an O negative, one of them. I'm a universal donor. My blood will, everyone in this room can have a blood transfusion from my blood. And yet they won't touch it. Why? Because sometime in the 1980s, people were messing around with the cows, and they were giving the cows other cows to eat. And all sorts of stuff got in the food chain, and everyone got unhappy, and the cows ended up with BSE, and then they said, right, that's it. Anyone who ate meat at that time, or even up till the year 1990, whatever it was, 96. What's the cut-off, 96?
Yeah, the cut-off. Next year.
Next year's girls are kosher. Wow. Next year's English girls?
If you were, it's 6 months in the UK before 1996.
Right.
So anyone born September or
April. Oh, Baruch Hashem. So from next year you can get blood from your English friends, okay? Of course, in England they'll take my blood because everybody's mad in England, and therefore everything's fine. But the point is like this. We don't say the pigs are treif because X, we don't say the shatnez is also because Y, because we don't know the reasons. How do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi Huda? Meaning, Rabbi Shimon Taka does. He says, if I can work out the reason, like the almona, like the rich widow, then the mitzvah will change. So who do we paskin, Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Huda. And why do we paskin Rabbi Huda over Rabbi Shimon? What did he say in source number 4? That's the Klali Hafsak. Bachlokes Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, like Ba'omer this week, okay? Unfortunately, we rarely paskin like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's very nice to dance around the Madura and like Ba'omer, but the general Klali Hafsak is that when he argues with the people he argues with, then Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yehuda will be passing like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon will be passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Shimon comes pretty low on the list. We do sometimes passing like Rabbi Shimon, but often not. So it turns out the Psak Halacha is we don't darshan time to cry, and the reason is with Torah mitzvahs, I brought you this quite long piece from the Rashbam, number 5, which talks about the fact that Kabbalistically, mystically, who knows what the reasons are? Think about it. If you really understand the Torah is min hashamayim, so an infinite God has infinite reasons for any mitzvah that is included in an infinite Torah. And therefore he says, Afa mitzvah sheyira mipshute hatanim. Even though it seems some mitzvahs it does give a reason. For example, sukkahs. Why does it say sit in a sukkah? What does it say? Leman yeidu doraseichim ki besukkahs hashavti eseim Yisrael. In other words, I used it in the sukkah to remember the sukkah is back in the midbar. Even in mitzvahs where it says very clearly, the Torah gives reasons, that these are the reasons. There's much more to it than that. Even if the reason is true, it's only once, it's a drop in the ocean. How do you know what the reasons are for any mitzvah? Maybe that is the reason, but maybe there are 1,000 other reasons. And he goes on to say that there aren't people today who can delve into this in enough depth, that the amount of knowledge has gone down, and therefore we do not identify reasons in the Torah and act on them. Meaning we can turn around and say, we think maybe one of the reasons is this. Look at Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch goes through mitzvah by mitzvah and says the reason for the mitzvah is this, but he never acts on it halachically. Meaning, you know, tzitzis is to remember the mitzvahs. Someone says, well, I have a very good memory. I'll remember the mitzvahs without tzitzis, therefore I won't bother. No one's going to say that. What are you saying, Jessica?
Like, honestly, if you give zero reasons, right, you give, like, a possible understand.
Right, it's to help you relate. It's to help you relate to the mitzvahs. But it's not to define the mitzvah in terms of the reason. However, you should know, and this is why I brought you this source on top of page 2. Look at this. This is a fascinating source. This is a Mishnah in Brachas. If somebody says from the Omer, in those days they didn't used to have fixed tefillah like we do today. So the Baal Tefillah had a certain amount of leeway to be able to create his own tefillah. So someone stands up and says, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kan Tzipur Yagir Rachamecha, meaning you're so merciful, you even have mercy on the mother bird, on the bird's nest. Meshachim Asoi. We shut them up. Okay, we shut them up. We stop them. We say, sorry, you're not a good Baal Tefillah. You have to stop. Come down. Why do we shut them up? So the Gemara gave 2 reasons. What were the 2 reasons? What were the 2 reasons? I can't about Yagir Chamecha. My time, what's the reasons? Pligi ba tre Amorai ba my Rava. There are 2 different shitas in the Gemara in the Amorai. Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida say the following. Chad Amor, one of them says, Mipnei she matal kina ba maaseh breishis. What does that mean, matal kina ba maaseh breishis? What's kina? Jealousy. What does he mean, matal kina ba maaseh breishis? Yeah, matter you're imposing. You're imposing kina between the creations. How did you understand that when you learned it? Not like what? I mean, I didn't tell you what it meant yet.
So what?
So what's going on? He says, like God is merciful on the birds, but not on the lizards, and not on everything else. And like, so there's like a pecking order, no pun intended. But there's like a priority. These get more rachamim, these get less rachamim. Like, how does that work in creation? You can't understand how God creates the world in that sense. The Chanam and the other one says, no, mipnei she'osem midos ha'shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. The other one is that because you're describing God as racham, as rachel. Why is there a mitzvah to shoo away the mother bird? Why? You tell me, why? Come on. Yes.
I can have a question.
Well, first, yeah, okay.
Doesn't Ramban say, give a reason? Not a reason, but doesn't he say that it's going to show, respect and, for the animals and also so that we don't get it, it's for
Yeah, the Ramban does talk about this. Okay. Good. So, is that allowed or is that not allowed? What would you say the reason for shooing away the mother? So you said the Ramban is to make us into people who are more racham. What else could you say? That's not a reason. That is a reason. That's not a reason for this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for every mitzvah. It's the same reason as I don't wear shatnas.
Okay,
so that could be a reason, but the Gemara here, the second view, is saying you would have thought, this guy stands up the Shlach Tzibur doesn't say that. He says, you God have rachamim on the mother bird, meaning I am telling you why we chase away the mother bird. It's because we kind to the bird, with its cruelty to animals. The Shlach Tzibur has identified that as the reason for the mitzvah. And the Gemara says the second reason why we shut him up is, no, you've decided that means it's because of rachamim, but ain't a gezeiros, but it's only a gezeirah. Meaning what? It's only a gezeirah. Meaning we don't know. I don't know. Do you know how birds feel? I once heard a very interesting radio program. It was talking about cruelty to animals. And obviously there is a mitzvah not to be cruel to animals. Clearly there is. And he was talking about battery farm chickens being held in coops. In tiny little coops, and they can't spread their wings, and they seem very unhappy from certain perspectives. They get very agitated, and they peck each other, and all sorts of things. So one guy turned to the other on the radio, this animal rights person said to the other, and said, how would you feel if you were kept in a room like that, and you couldn't move your arms from side to side, you were kept there day and night and day and night, how would you feel? So the other guy said to him, I would feel suicidal. But how would this chicken feel if it had to pay my mortgage at the end of the month? So he said, what? He said, I know how I'd feel if I were in that position, but I have no clue how a chicken feels, any more than the chicken has any clue how I feel. How do you know how chickens feel? Now, that doesn't mean that you should keep them in cramped conditions, because maybe like Adina said, it's nothing to do with the chicken, it's about you. How can you do that to an animal based on how you feel? Maybe it's nothing to do with the animal. This is
he also says that every mother has the same kind of, in every being, not just...
Isn't that the Rambam? The Ramban says that? The Rambam says that? Interesting. I understood that the Rambam, I need to revisit it, the Rambam says that when it comes to basic emotional feelings of mothers to animals... I think he quotes the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, who says that the animals have feelings just like people have feelings. Does anyone own a dog? No one owns a dog?
A cat.
A cat. Who had it? You said you had a cat? Does it have feelings?
Yes.
Is it its feelings, or is it your feelings, the way you project onto its feeling?
It's very intelligent.
Intelligence is obviously with feelings.
No, they have feelings. Not like humans.
May well be. Meaning, dogs definitely seem to have feelings, and they get sad, and they get happy, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know quite what that means. Says the Torah, you've got no clue about animals. Okay? We do these things because it's a gezeirah. Now, which of those reasons is the reason? Two reasons were given. One of them is that, okay, we know that God has rachamim, but we don't want to say that publicly, otherwise it looks as though he has rachamim on this and not on that. But the reason is rachamim. And the other one says, you don't know the reason. So don't talk about the reasons. Two different reasons. Now, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, look at what he says in Moreh Nevuchim, number 7. The im elo atzarim anafshim chasa Torah aleihim. So the Torah has mercy on the inferior beings, the behemoths, the oifus, on birds and on animals. Kol shekhen b'bnei Adam, all the more so that there's rachamim on human beings.
V'loi takshe alai. Don't ask me a question, ba'amru, because when it says, I can't tipu racha yugur chamecha, that we shut the guy up. Meaning the Rambam's just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful on animals, and therefore kal v'chomer, there has to be mercy on people. It says, don't quote the Gemara in Brachas to me that says we're not allowed to say Hashem has mercy on animals, because then you're giving reasons for the mitzvahs and their gezeiras. Ki hu l'fi achas mishtei adeyas as zecharno. Because that's only according to one of the two shittas. Okay, Rotsa Loma, that means Das, that is the view of Misha Choshev, the one who thinks She'ein Tam LaTorah Ela HaRotson Bilvad. The only reason for mitzvahs is Hashem's Rotsa. V'anachnu, but we, okay, Nimshachnu Acha Hadei Asheni. But we follow the second understanding, which is that there are reasons for mitzvahs. This is a very big machlokas in Hashkofa. Meaning, the Rambam agrees in Halacha that we can't say like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that we don't actually apply halachically what we think the reason is and say, today pork is kosher because we think it's clean. We don't do that. But hashkafically, he says, there's a very big machlokas between what the Rambam said and what the Rashba said. The Rashba, who's more of a mystic, says, you can't know the reasons for mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. All you can know is a tiny little drop in the ocean. You don't have enough depth. You don't have enough knowledge. Forget about it. And the Rambam says, no, we don't follow that shita. We follow that everything to gezeirah. We follow the shita that there is a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this mitzvah for a reason, and we have the ability to get to an understanding of that reason. And that's, today most of what people are taught is that everything's chukim, right? Everything's chukim. Girls come to school, they're in high school, everything's chukim. We don't know the reasons for anything. Okay? Just like para aduma. Everything's like para aduma. Is that true? Is that what everybody holds? The Rambam says, it goes through in Moreh Nevuchim a very long analysis of this reason is for this, and this reason is for this reason, this reason, this reason, that every mitzvah has reasons that we can relate to. Yes?
Well, why can't we understand that there are reasons, aside from like Hashem said so, so we do it because Hashem said so, why can't we understand that there are reasons without saying, well, we need to figure out what these reasons are? Why can't we just say there are reasons?
Because the Rambam, Lishitasai, says the ultimate mitzvah we have is to understand God, and to understand God is to understand the reasons why He said things. Therefore, understanding the reasons behind mitzvahs is critical, because at the end of the day, for the Rambam, the physical mitzvah itself is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is understanding the mitzvah. Good. So the Rambam obviously holds that on balance, the danger of people rationalizing the mitzvahs away is less serious than the danger of people just not thinking about the mitzvahs and doing them without thinking at all. And that was a massive machlokas in the Middle Ages. Because many people started going down the Rambam's track, and eventually they stopped being from. Because they say, I can do it all in here anyway, so why do I need to shake the lulav anyway? I can just get the mitzvah by thinking about it. And the Rambam will say, no, that's not what I meant. Of course you still have to shake the lulav, but you have to shake the lulav and also think. And therefore, people banned philosophy, for people under 25, there was a famous ban, the Rashba, the very man, the Rashba banned philosophy, studied philosophy for anyone under the age of 25, on the basis that the youth were going off the derech, and they were saying, you know, we don't need mitzvahs because we can do it a different way. Therefore, balancing whether you go more down the Tamei HaMitzvah route, which is more philosophical, more thinking, more rationalizing, with the danger that goes with that, or whether you go down with the, this is, we do this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and you're never going to understand much more than that. That's a very big debate, educationally, as well as philosophically. Today, we tend to go not like the Rambam. How many schools are, maybe in the more modern Orthodox world, the Rambam is stronger in the way that it's taught, but you might say, well, that leads to a certain kind of different attitude there. Are you all right, Abby?
I'm really cold.
You're cold? That's there, now I know that there's something wrong. You want to come and sit over here? This is a nice seat. The borough will keep you excited and warm. Listen, come sit over here. Now, that's what we're Torah mitzvah. Yes, Rivki.
So is the Rambam saying a reason or the reason?
I think the Rambam is saying the reason. Now, the Rambam knows that God is infinite and you'll never understand God, but the mitzvah could have a reason. Again, the Rambam is not suggesting like you should act on that and therefore stop doing this or start doing that because of the reason, but he said this is the reason. We know the mitzvah has reason, these are the reasons. Now, I'm not saying the Rambam will exclude the possibility of any other reason, but he says you can, as a human being, get to the reason. Whereas the Rashba says you can't. That's my understanding. Now, let's go on. Drabonos. The Rabbonos are introduced by rabbis. Rabbis are human beings. I mean, all the ones I've ever met are. Presumably, they have reasons for doing what they do, right, Esther? Can we ever get to the bottom of a the reason for a rabbinic mitzvah? Because unlike a Torah mitzvah, I'm not now dealing with an infinite being. I'm dealing with a group of people who said things for a certain reason. If I know what the reason is, and I know that the reason doesn't apply, can I turn around and say, well, the mitzvah doesn't apply? Because maybe what the Rashba said on Torah mitzvahs, which is you'll never really know, maybe doesn't apply. Maybe you can know, and therefore can act on that. So I'm not going to go through 8, 9, and 10 in detail, but I want to just basically bring your attention to them. There is a principle that is called a davash ha-minyan, which we've looked at before, which is if something was created by Chazal in a minyan, meaning it was a takona or a gezeira, although we'll see that there's a slight difference between those two words later on. If the halacha was introduced by Chazal, then today, even if the reason goes away, look at this one line from the Rambam, look at number 10, based in Shigazru Gezerah or Tiknu Tzakonah Ve'nihigu Minhagu Pashat Adava B'chol Yisrael, if it becomes an accepted halacha, let's say that chicken is fleishik, that's now an accepted rabbinic institution, Va'amad Achrein based in Acher, and a later based in comes, Ubikish Levatl Dvarim HaRishon, and they want to overrule it, they want to now get rid of that minag or that halacha. The later beis din has to be great in chachma, which means what? Chachma means it's intelligence, and minyan meaning it's following. It has to be greater. Even if you know the reason, and the reason is no longer relevant, for the reason that the original people made it, you can't overrule it. And the basis of that is a Gemara in Beitza that we looked at, or we didn't look at, you looked at in number 8, which says that a chicken that was, an egg that was laid on Rosh Hashanah is also both days of Rosh Hashanah, and the reason is because of the nature of Rosh Hashanah in the Beit HaMikdash, that Rosh Hashanah was one long festival because the Eidim came late and all that kind of stuff, and nowadays the Rosh Hashanah no longer works that way because there is no Beit HaMikdash, maybe they should have a different halacha. Came along the Gemara and says, no, since that halacha was made with a minyan doesn't mean 10 men here, it means a quorum of the Sanhedrin, you can't override it even if the mitzvah falls away. Comes along the Raivad in number 11 and says, what? Really? Is that so straightforward? What about sometimes where the reason is so obvious that it just doesn't apply? What's the example he gives in number 11? Do you remember? You guys are not so with it today. You might have worked that one out by now. I'm not blaming you, but it's patent. Yes? Shvacha Yerushalayim, what's the deal? What's he talking about? Bikurim, what's the deal with Bikurim? There was a takana of Chazal that when people came to bring Bikurim from Shavuot time and onwards, they had to decorate the streets of Yerushalayim with fruit and make them beautify the streets of Yerushalayim. Okay? With fruits and with leaves and with, it was part of the takana. So say these days when there is no Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is the Churban, or at least it was at the time of the Raivad, is there still a mitzvah to decorate the streets of Yerushalayim with fruit and leaves etc. during the Zman Bikurim? And the answer is no, because there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Bikurim. And now why would you have a mitzvah to decorate the streets for Bikurim if there's no Bikurim? I mean, isn't that obvious? So, he asked this as a kasha on the Rambam, which is that if the reason has gone away and we still have to do it, well, why don't we do that anymore? So, there's obviously going to be, either there's just a machlokes in halacha here, where one holds that if the reason falls away, you still have to do it, and the other says that if the reason falls away, you don't have to do it. Well, there are slightly different kinds of reason. And I want to give you about 7 examples, and hopefully you learn through them, actually 9 examples. Let's go through them and see if the reason, we still know the reason or we don't know the reason. Some of them you'll be very familiar with. What's the first one? Mayim Megulim. Go over to page 5. 3, sorry. Source number 12. What's Mayim Megulim? What's Mayim Megulim? Liquids which you left open in the air. It says very clearly in the halacha that if you leave water or wine or milk outside for more, or out in the open in a room, even inside for more than a few minutes, you're not allowed to drink them, the halacha. Gezeira Drabonon. Why? Snakes. Snakes go in, they drink, they put stuff in, you know, venom, what have you. This was things that people realized. People had this experience. People were getting sick from this, and therefore they said no one could drink those. Today, halacha lemaisa, if you leave water uncovered for half an hour in the afternoon, are you allowed to drink that water? 100% yes. Look at number 12, Tosus. V'anusha ein lechash metzuyim v'enimu. We don't have any snakes anymore. Ein lechush v'shum gilu. We don't worry about this idea of left things left open. Ah, what about a davar shebeminyan? How can you overrule the drabonon when we know that we're not greater in chokhmah and minyan? How can we be greater in chokhmah and minyan than the Mishnah? The Mishnah was the Sanhedrin; it was followed by all of Klal Yisrael. Says the Tosfos, "For ein loyma the davar v'minyan." Don't tell me it's a davar sheba minyan. But tzarich minyan achel hatir. You need another Sanhedrin to overrule it. Don't say that. Kivadai hu, because it's for sure. He said, "Because she'asru tchilu when they asked it in the beginning, lo asru ela b'makom she'ar nechashim matu." They only made the gezera where there are snakes. Now, how do you know? I mean, does that make sense to you? Yeah, they made a gezera that snakes might go in. Presumably, they made that gezera in a place where there were snakes. Okay, so Tosas feels sufficiently confident to rule that today the gezera doesn't apply. Did Chazal say that explicitly? No, because otherwise you wouldn't need Tosfos to tell you. But he's confident enough. And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch rules like Tosfos. Number 13. Mashkim shenizgalu. Asrum chachamim dechashin and shema shata nachash. Maybe they said it's asa. Chazal said it was asa just like they said chicken and milk is asa. This is asa midrabonon. Because snakes might have drunk from them. And they put poison in them. The achshav, but nowadays, says the Shulchan Aruch, she'ein nechash metzuyeh ve'neinu muta. What changed? Tell me what changed here. What did we do to this halacha? We rationalized it, and we said it doesn't apply anymore. Okay? Are we allowed to do that? It was already rationalized. Why? But they never said that. How do you know they're not mystical and other reasons that maybe there's a whole Kabbalistic thing about water being left open and it gets the something or others. How do you?
How rabbis made it.
And?
They must have made it for a reason.
Good. And you can't be confident we know the reason, and therefore the whole thing falls away. We don't do it anymore. Is that what you normally find?
No.
That's not how people normally approach these. Isn't the normal situation that people tell you, well, if that's what Chazal said, that's what we have to do? Let me ask you a question. I get resistance to this when I teach it, and I taught it this morning. I got less resistance this year than normal. Medications on Shabbos, okay? Can you take Tylenol on Shabbos? Yes or no? If you have a minor headache?
No.
No? Why not?
No.
Because they are toichein, people make medicines by crushing them and all that kind of stuff, and therefore you might come to crush medication on Shabbos. So you can't take medication on Shabbos? Now, you're going to turn around to me and say, Nobody does toichen anymore for medication. Now, I'm going to turn around to you and say, well, actually, they do. You don't do it. They do it in the factory for you. You pay someone else to do your toichen. So they still do make medication that way. But it's still very difficult for us to relate to for a pill as anything to do with toichen. It's very, very and yet, all the points can say very clearly that medication is still medication. And Shabbos is still a problem. Even though our Matthias today is a little bit different from how it was then. The halacha still applies. We didn't just get rid of the halacha. And we're going to have to work out when this does apply and when this doesn't apply. Okay? And the Taz brings down in Shulchan Aruch number 14, we know that this was the halacha because of the snakes, and therefore that's how it applies. What about Mayim Achronim? What was the reason for Mayim Achronim? Melach Sodomis. What is Melach Sodomis? The salt. Okay, go away that. Okay, fine. Sorry about that. Should have just had that turned off. Put it down. Melach Sodomis. Do we still have Melach Sodomis? How do you know? You never heard of the situation we have Malach Sodomis. Fine. So do we still have to do Mayim Achronim?
Well, you believe in the Kabbalah.
So what does Tosfos say? Again, Tosfos, interestingly, say yes or no?
No.
Number 16. Do we do Mayim Achronim today or yet or not?
No.
No? He says, don't do it anymore. Why not? Number 16. Tamad Mayim Achronim have a mission Malach Sodomis. We don't do Mayim Achronim. Doesn't apply anymore. What is the Shulchan Aruch rule? We do it or we don't do it? First of all, the Shulchan Aruch brings Mayim Acharonim Chovah. You have to do Mayim Acharonim. And then it says, V'yesh Amrim She'ein Nogim Little Mayim Acharonim. There are some people that say not to do it today. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because there's no Malach Sedonis, but then he brings the Gra and says, whoa, how do you know there aren't other reasons? Maybe there are Kabbalistic reasons, maybe there are mystical reasons. B'Shem HaMukubalim he talks about, you still have to do Mayim Acharonim. Just because you think you know that it's Melach Sedonis is the reason, and you don't think there's Melach Sedonis anymore, maybe there are 5, 10, 15 other reasons you don't know about, and if you don't do Mayim Acharonim, you're doing a serious problem. The Mishnah Berurah brings that down. The Shulchan Aruch brought two sheets. Number one, you do have to do it. Number two, Yeshua, you don't have to do it. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because who knows if that's the only reason. The Aruch HaShulchan in number 18 gets very upset that people don't do Mayim Acharonim. Very upset. He's not Sephardi. He's Ashkenazi. He may actually be Sephardi, really. Because his name is Epstein, and he's a Levi. And there is a klal that all the Epsteins who are Levi and they came from Lithuania, actually, they're Sephardim. But that's not the point. The point is, there is. Their real name is Benvenisti, and they come from Spain, but they just changed it to Epstein because they went to Epstein. Read the Torah to me that he talks about. There are lots of Ashkenazim who are really Sephardi. I kind of have doubts about myself every now and then. But it seems that I'm Ashkenazi, but maybe I'm not. But who knows, maybe it's just a fantasy that I'd like to be Sephardi, but I'm not. And I can't even marry a Sephardi guy and become Sephardi, so what can I do? It's difficult for me to become Sephardi. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, absolutely you have to do Mayim Acharonim. Even the Balei HaTosfos, who said you don't have to, didn't really mean it. They would just be Malamed Tzchus. What does Malamed Tzchus mean? Right, they were just trying to say, well, don't be down on people who don't do it. Maybe they're relying on this and relying on that, but actually, you absolutely still need to do it. And he brings them a kubalim, etc., etc. And he says that you absolutely can't slack on this. Can I just borrow a pen? Oh, there's a pen here. Okay, let's make this a little change here. Okay. Fine. So, Mayim Acharonim, do we do it or do we not do it? Tell me what people do. Oh, some people do, some people don't. What do the Sephardim tend to do? My Acharonim Chovah, they like to say it as well. The Ashkenazim, what do? Some do, some don't, and therefore you end up with Ashkenazim with some women don't do it. Why? Because it's like a minhag now with Ashkenazim. Some of them do it, some of them don't, and women don't have the minhag. With Sephardim, the women wash my Acharonim. I never heard of Sephardi women not washing my Acharonim. Okay, because it's a Chovah. And therefore the reason is debated, and it's come through in the Halacha that way. Malacha on Erev Pesach. This is really interesting. Tosfos, who have been trying to tell us for the last two examples that things have changed, what do they say? Why don't we do malacha on Erev Pesach? There's an Isra in Halacha of certain times of malacha on Erev Pesach. What's because of the Korban Pesach. We don't want people to get carried away and forget to go to the Beit HaMikdash to do the Korban Pesach. And today, is there still an Isra of malacha on Erev Pesach?
Yes.
Why? Isn't that the most obvious reason-based rabbinic isser that they could think of? Don't do malacha on Erev Pesach because we don't want you to get carried away and forget to do the Korban Pesach. But still it applies. So, is there another reason out there? Presumably, there must be another reason somewhere. It's very hard to track down. Okay. So it says there on the top of number 20, says, Kaven Shenesa, since it was also then, also le'olem, it's always also. Yes. Oh yeah, absolutely. There are Isurim of Malacha on Erev Pesach afternoon after Chatzos. It's like Chol HaMoed. It's not also to do all Malacha like turn on lights and things, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that from Chatzos onwards on Erev Pesach, it's also to shave, it's also to like get involved in Chol HaMoed type Isurim, etc. Absolutely. Absolutely. Starts because Chatzos, you never heard of this? Chatzos on Erev Pesach onwards is called Chag HaPesach. Chag HaPesach begins Chatzot on Erev Pesach and ends Chatzot midnight on Leil HaPesach. Okay? And Chag HaMatzot begins, Rabbi Liebtag has a whole thing on this, right? Chatzot, and Chag HaMatzot begins on the sunset on Pesach, and there's an overlap of like 6 hours of Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot, which is when you do your Pesach Seder, and when I do mine. Okay? So, you've learned something. I thought you'd learned some halacha today. So look down, look at Shulchan Aruch.
Just like, I think
Oh, first of all, not all Tosfos is the same. There are different Balei
Tosfos. No, but like this reason seems the same as the Kuran and the Beis HaMikdash, but it doesn't exist.
Seems that way, although that wasn't Tosfos in fairness, that was the rival. But yeah, I agree with you. It's difficult to see exactly the patterns here. Let's look at another of the examples. Chalav Yisrael and Stam Yenam. Why did they ask the Chalav Yisrael to Rabbanon? Or Chalav Akum rather. Why did they say you have to have Chalav Yisrael? Because people might put pig's milk in there. And do people do that ever?
No.
All the time. All the time, all over the world. Absolutely. 100%. Horse milk, camel milk, absolutely. You can buy camel milk ice cream down in Beit Sheva. It's called Gamalida.
Do they mix it?
Yeah, why not? If they run out of cow's milk and they put a little bit, they need to make up the quantities, they'll put, why, who cares? No one cares really, do they? No, you see, that's the point. There never used to be laws about this.
Nowadays,
well, that depends on, A, whether there are laws. Are there laws in Rwanda about mixing the milk? I'm not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. And do people keep the laws? I don't know. Maybe yes. I'm sure there are many law-abiding Rwandan citizens. But I dare say that the enforcement procedures are a little bit different than they are in Canada, for example. So, in principle, Chalav Akum is Osa. Fine. What about Stam Yenam? What's Stam Yenam? Oh, come on, girls.
Wine,
this you really have to know.
Wine that's been touched by...
Yes, wine that's been poured or touched by non-Jewish people, or prepared by non-Jewish people.
I said I was a waitress at a wine event, and they were like, look, if anyone comes to the cottage, also, like, you cannot let them touch it. And they're like, well, why can I touch it? Like, I keep kosher.
Okay, so there's a separate question as to whether Stam Yenam applies when non-religious Jewish people touch the wine. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about a real Mahadrin non-Jewish person. Okay, what's the problem? Why is there a problem with Stam Yenam? Tell me. Oh, so there are two shitas in the Rishonim. One is that it's from Avodah Zarah, meaning the wine was and is still used for Avodah Zarah to pour it out. Depending on what shita you take on Christianity, whether it's Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah, there's a big debate in the Rishonim. But communion wine, when you drink the wine, you know what transubstantiation is?
Yeah.
When you drink the wine and you eat the wafer in the Catholic Mass, okay, and you are drinking the blood and eating the body. Yeah? Is that a Avodah Zarah? Is that not a Avodah Zarah? It's a big machlokas, but that's wine for Avodah Zarah. So Stam Yenam is a Gezeret Rabbanon because of Avodah Zarah wine. Or what's the other reason?
Mingling.
Meaning the people you marry are the people you drink with. And that's still true today. So is the reason for Avodah Zarah true today?
No.
If you go to a wine shop in New York City and pick up a bottle of non-Jewish wine, there's no concept of Avodah Zarah, even close to it. Nothing's even connected with Avodah Zarah anymore. In the wine shop. And yet the mingling reason still is. But it can look at the Tiferes Yisrael number 21. Don't ask us why is there still a problem of Chalav Nachri and Stam Yenam. The Afbizman Azeh and Nitzbat Al Hatam, the Bishvil on Esra, the both of them have lost their reasons. Because nowadays he says the non-Jews don't put camel milk into the cow's milk. And also there's no Avodah Zarah with the wine. Even also today, because they were asked with a minion. You need another minion, you need another Sanhedrin to say that they're okay. Now, we'll see soon, next time, not today, that Rav Moshe Feinstein has his famous track on Chalav Yisrael. But he says that today, because of the supervision of the non-Jewish authorities, it's ke'ilu, somebody had already supervised it, it has the same status. We know that it's not been contaminated, and therefore that's good enough. Not everybody agrees with that, of course. But in a place like, you know, we went to Botswana for safari a few years ago. Wonderful country, lovely people, fantastic place, but I don't think you drink milk there. If someone milks the milk and puts it in the supermarket and says this is, you know, fresh Botswanan cow's milk, I don't know. Maybe there's all sorts of stuff in there. So, fuck. Okay. Even in Europe, you know, in England, so that depends, not because they don't have the rules, they have just as tight rules in Spain as they have in New York City, but the question is whether they keep them or not. They say in like Southern Europe, you have to, you know, ask around. When we went to Greece, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, we asked the local Chabad people, you know, which are the milk products that you can rely on, which you can't. But the point is that, in principle, it still applies. Yes, Elisheva. Good, I'm showing you. It's like, we're going to have to try and make some seder here as to, at the end, we'll see if we can pull it together. What about cheese? Four more cases. Cheese made by non-Jews. Why is cheese made by non-Jews a problem? Let's say you go to the supermarket and you buy vegan cheese. What could be wrong with that? Why normally is non-Jewish cheese a problem? What do they make cheese from?
Milk.
Milk and? Rennet. From, where do you get rennet from?
Cow
stomachs. And it's going to come from trace cows. And there's all sorts of other things that might go into the process of making the milk, to make it gel, whatever, in making the cheese. So normal cheese is trace. Fine. What about vegan cheese? Well, they can guarantee absolutely that it has no additives from any kind of animal. All that they put together with it is some kind of vegetable to make it turn into cheese. And they had that in the time of Chazal as well. This is the Maggid Mishnah, number 22. The Maggid Mishnah lived in the time of the Rishonim. He says, it doesn't matter. Kaven, look at what I underline. Kaven she gvina nesa b'minyan, since gvina was acid in a minyan, meaning in the Sanhedrin. Afal pisha bottle tam, even if the reason no longer applies, that they only put vegetables in and it's vegan and it's absolutely guaranteed not to contain anything, you still can't eat cheese made by non-Jewish people, even vegan cheese. By the way, is that still the halacha? 100%, absolutely. Certainly with hard cheese. With hard yellow cheese, things like that, you absolutely cannot buy vegan cheese, even if it's guaranteed no animal products. With soft cheeses, there's a whole shaila, cottage cheese and soft cream cheeses. There's a shaila to whether the gezeira applied in the same way to them. Yes?
I've heard that people will like drink cholesterol milk, but they won't worry about cholesterol cheese because you can only make cheese.
Right, so that's good. That's already cheese made by Jewish people, but not from Chalav Yisrael. And that's because when it comes to cheese, milk from a camel won't turn into cheese. Although these days I think you can turn pretty much anything into anything with the right additives and chemicals. Yeah? So, by the way, camel's milk is a big deal if you go down to the desert, to the Negev. There's all sorts of stuff going on with camel's milk. But they even make an apple and honey Rosh Hashanah special flavor of camel's milk ice cream. Trafe, of course. But for people who want to have something with apple and honey in it on Rosh Hashanah, even though they don't keep kosher, then, you know, can have camel's milk Rosh Hashanah special ice cream. Okay. How do you, just these things, you pick up these things as you go through life, you know? A bit like, you know... Anyway. 23. Let's go. What's Ma'ein Sheva? Come on, ladies. What's Ma'ein Sheva? Magen Avos, Bizvaroy, Machayim, Mitzim, Ma'amaroy, etc., etc. You know what I'm talking about? What's Kiddush Hashul on Friday night? Kiddush Hashul on Friday night. Fine. Why do we say Kiddush Hashul on Friday night? Okay. We paskan like Shmuel that Kiddush has to be b'makom suda, meaning if you make Kiddush and you don't eat there, then are you Yotze or are you not? You are not Yotze. Therefore, if there are people sleeping and eating in the shul and they hear Kiddush in the shul, they're Yotze, that's Kiddush for them. But if there are no people eating or sleeping in the shul, then the Kiddush in shul is like, what does that achieve? How does that work? So comes along the tour and says, I don't understand. People make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? Why? Isn't that a brocha levatala? So why would you make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? From based on what we said so far today. Make Chazal made a takana to make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. Ah, there's a reason. The reason doesn't apply. Yeah, okay, so we don't mess with that. Even if the reason doesn't apply, maybe there are other reasons. But even if you're making a bracha levatala, says the Torah, come on. If there's a downside, if you're going to actually do a potential aveira by keeping something going, even when the reason doesn't apply, so are you really going to do that? We're going to learn the case of the lice on Shabbos. Can you kill lice on Shabbos? And Chazal say, yes, you can kill lice on Shabbos. Why? Because they don't reproduce with males and females. They reproduce spontaneously. So now it seems that reason no longer applies, or never applied, or whatever it is. We'll learn the whole sukkah. Yeah? Can you still kill lice on Shabbos? Even though that might be Chilul Shabbos Doraisa? Can you even go that far? So he says you can't make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. In Chutz La'aretz, you make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? Most shuls do. I don't think Sephardi shuls do. But Ashkenazi shuls do. Okay? I'm not sure. Does Sephardi shuls make Kiddush on Friday night? I don't remember, but I don't think so either. But others defend the Minhag very strongly. And they say, absolutely, you can make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. What about Magen Avot? Why did they introduce Ma'ein Sheva on Friday night?
Because people who eat Zavet and were still davening when everyone else was finished and they didn't want them to leave alone and go home alone, so they made it to the next day.
So they lengthened the Friday night marriage service a little bit so people wouldn't be left
on their own late at night in the fields. Okay. Today, do we still do Magen Avrot? Avot? Yeah. Does the reason apply? No. Is there a bracha there that we make? Yes. It ends Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. So how do you do that? So even the tour who is not happy about Kiddush and Shul on Friday night is still happy about Magen Avos and Shul on Friday night, which is interesting. What about Chazaras HaShatz? Why do we do Chazaras HaShatz? For those who can't read. Does that apply today? Maybe. Maybe, but generally not. You go to the Grosh Shul in Har Nof. Yeah, where everybody there's got like, you know, no shas upwards and downwards. Although the truth is not everybody does, but everybody there can read. So why is the Chazan standing up and making 19 brochas? For what reason? Chazal said very specifically, this is the reason for Chazaras HaShatz.
Maybe there is somebody who can't.
And for that, maybe, let's say there are 10 of them there, and they're all, you know...
We can't judge on one shul.
Fine. So maybe you're saying, so Chazal made a reason, the reason applies, whatever. Even though we make 19 brochas levatola. But it's not a brocha levatola, so Chazal said to make it. So what's the difference between that and Kiddush and Shul on Friday night? Meaning, Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, how can you do it? The reason doesn't apply anymore, it's a brocha levatola. And yet, Chazaras HaShatz, in many cases, the reason doesn't apply, and it's not a brocha levatola. There's an interesting question as to how that works. Dancing and clapping on Shabbos. So the reason originally was what? Why can't you dance and clap on Shabbos?
You might come to
tune your instruments, to make an instrument, and Tosfos says what? Bizman azeh. People don't do this anymore. People don't make kalim on Shabbos if they start dancing, and therefore it doesn't apply. And the halach in Shulchan Aruch is brought down that the Machaber says you cannot dance and you cannot clap and you cannot snap your fingers on Shabbos. And the Ramah says, you know something? People do it these days and they won't listen if you tell them not to. And anyway, according to Tosfos, it doesn't apply anymore. And he gives a reason. He says, the Milsa Deloi Shchichu, it was never really that common. Meaning where Chazal said a reason, but it doesn't apply very often, and now it doesn't seem to apply at all. So maybe that's one of the gedorim as to when we don't do it. Maybe that was with the snakes as well. I don't know that it wasn't such a common thing. But the Taz brings down in number 32 here. Hachashani kivin de lo shchiach kolkach. Since it's a reason, but the reason never applied. Even when it did apply, it didn't apply that often. How often do people make kalim on Shabbos? As opposed to how often do people come to shul not knowing how to daven, which used to apply all the time. So maybe that's a little bit different. I brought you two other cases. One of silk and wool. They originally had an issa of silk and wool. You can't wear silk and wool together because people will get silk mixed up with pishdan, with linen. And it's a gezeira d'rabbanan in case you come to wear linen and wool together. Today, does this apply? No. Look at the top of 34. Ha'idna. Today doesn't apply, said the Shulchan Aruch, because we all know that silk is silk, and therefore no one's going to get confused. He says, Ha'idna lechayra kasha? Isn't this a bit difficult? The Hakaimel and the Davashanesa Avshebot Latam Sarek Minyan Achela Hatiroi. Don't we say that if something becomes, even if the reason falls away, the halacha should still apply until there's a bigger Sanhedrin? Matinu, but say for Tiferes Yisrael, he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael that gives a reason. What's the reason of the Tiferes Yisrael? Okay, number 35. This is very interesting. Kevan de Memeshi Milsa Deloy Shchiach. Okay, so first of all, he says again, it's not. Lo shayach lemitayvai. People are not going to make a mistake. Why? For word in shatame is a yadua. Meaning, maybe when the reason was very well known, it was an obvious reason. It was a reason that people clearly understood. Lo havi kinesa b'minyan. Maybe that's not like something being osur in a minyan, and therefore it's easier to allow it. You see what's going on here? Everyone's trying to work out why some things yes, some things no. And they're trying to kind of make rules that these Isserei D'Rabbanon we seem not to keep anymore because the reason falls away. But these ones we do keep. So maybe it's because things were very rare. And in things which were initially rare then and now are zero, then we don't have to worry. Maybe it's because the reason was very well known and today, if it doesn't apply because the reason was very well known, everyone will understand. And I brought you the last case of a talis made from linen. They said that you can't make a talis made from linen because we're scared that people are going to put wool on it, they won't understand, they don't have tcheles and all that kind of stuff. And again, does this apply? Does this not apply anymore when we don't have tcheles anymore? So it wants to say, Maybe there's a difference between a gezeira and a takana. Again, it's a difference between the reason being known and the reason not being known. At the end of the day, it's very hard to actually draw any clear rules here. And this is going to be very important for people. I'll give you an example we're going to talk about. There is a halacha drabonon that a woman is not allowed to get married for 24 months, for 2 years after she has a baby. So let's say the woman has a baby and the husband dies, God forbid, or they get divorced. And then 9 months later, after the baby's born, she meets another guy and they want to get married and it's fantastic. And she says, okay, well, great, we'll get married. So the Beis Din will say you can't get married. Or will it? Chazal said you can't get married. Why did they say you can't get married? Right, we're worried that the baby is going to, you know, the milk is going to dry because the woman's going to get married to a new guy and she's going to get pregnant and the first baby's not going to have anything to eat and the second husband's not going to care because he's a stepfather and we know all stepfathers are wicked, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So he's not going to pay for a wet nurse because other than a wet nurse, how are you going to feed the first baby? And therefore, in order to protect the baby, you're not allowed to get married again. So now the woman's going to come to the basin and say, excuse me, I don't have a problem feeding my baby. I go to the supermarket and buy formula. The baby's just fine. On the contrary, if you don't let me get married, I'm going to have no money because this man wants to marry me. He's not going to wait another 15 months until the baby's 2 years old. And maybe then I'll have no money. On the contrary, now the original gezeira is actually working against its purpose, which is making it less likely now to protect the baby than more likely. So which of these reasons will we apply to try and say the halacha yes changes or doesn't change? That's not going to be totally clear until we come back and talk about it more. So we'll stop there, and I wish you a nice day. I hope you get lots of energy back.